Okay, well, it's 9 o'clock, so we'll call the meeting to order. Welcome. And I guess we'll move on to introductions. Where do we want to, you want to start, Robert?
Yes, Robert Leslie Newman. I am from Omaha, and I am just, I don't represent an outfit. I'm just a good consumer.
Oh, there you go. And I'm Jim Yurok from Omaha, and I represent the interests of the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska.
Julie Johnson from York, Nebraska, and I'm the chairperson of the Board of Commissioners.
Mike Hansen from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I am the National Federation of the Blind designee.
Becky Reakin from Kearney, Nebraska, and I guess I represent parents of children who are visually impaired.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for VR Services, Commission for the Blind.
Kathy Stevens, Administrative Assistant from Lincoln.
Bob Beaton, Deputy Director for Independent Living Services, Lincoln.
And Mark Bolger, I'm a consumer from Omaha and a member of the American Council of Blind.
Bill Brown, Business Manager for the Commission for the Blind.
Wes Magaris, Technology Program Manager for the Commission for the Blind based in Lincoln.
Technology Program.
Jamie Corvus, Orientation Counselor in the North Platte.
And I'm Dan Burr, the driver from Omaha and today's recorder.
Thank you. Announcements this morning. There are agendas in Braille and print available for everyone. The Open Meetings Act, that are the rules that govern how we conduct business, are also available if you'd like to review those in Braille and print. Our meetings are recorded, so if you would like to listen to them later, or people who couldn't attend, you can let them know that there are recordings available on the website about 10 days after our meetings. Proof of publication, Kathy, you want to tell us that?
I have a copy of the proof of publication with me and also the notice of the meeting. It was published on the state government calendar, the NCBVI website, NFB Newsline, radio talking book. It was sent out to all staff. It was sent to the president of ACB and NFB, and it was sent out to the NCBVI listserv.
Okay. There are public comment periods of time set aside for public comment, and I will take names at that time, excuse me, and call on people in the order in which they indicated they'd like to speak. And I believe, did you guys get the podium set up?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a podium with a microphone and all that, and we'll show you where that is. And there, the rules about public comment are pretty straightforward. Just we need to talk one at a time, and you can only speak during the public comment time unless a commissioner has a specific question for someone here, and then you can speak on that topic at that time if you would like. Lunch arrangements. Lunch is on your own today. There's not very many people here. I don't see any problem with transportation. We'll sort that out at lunchtime, but we do need to leave the hotel to do lunch. And am I missing any other announcements?
Everyone know where the restrooms are at? They're pretty close by. Just go out the door here and take a right. When you get to the tile, take a left, and there'll be a water fountain on the left in the men's room, then straight ahead at the end of the little hallway is the ladies.
Okay.
I have one announcement, Julie.
Sure.
My portable mic does not seem to be working very well with the dead battery, so unless I find one, I will not be passing it around today.
Okay.
Doesn't matter. I'm 9 volt.
Okay.
So if you're speaking and you're in the public, please speak up a little bit.
Would someone like to read through the agenda real quick for the volunteers?
Robert, want to do it?
I'm kind of a slow reader, so I could do it if you're patient. because I'm not used to reading aloud, and I rarely have my fingers ever on hard copy. It's usually the Braille display, which is different.
Oh, Becky's volunteered, so.
Yeah. Okay.
So just start at 9 o'clock?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. 9 o'clock a.m., call to order, welcome and introductions, announcement concerning public comment periods, meeting agendas, Open Meeting Act, proof of publication, recordings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics. 9:10 a.m. Approve of the February 1st public meeting minutes and March 14th and 15th board retreat minutes. 9:15, commissioner's report. 9:25, report from the executive director. It goes on to unfinished business. 9:45, budget update. 10:05, newsline update. 10:10, client assistance program, complaints or issues. 10:15, Nebraska business enterprise update. 10:30, progress report on organizational development specialist. 10:35, public comment. 10:50, break, and goes on to annual business. 11:05, discuss and act on the approval of the executive director's time certification. 11:10, discuss and act on the approval of executive director's NCSAB treasurer election in November of 2013. 11:15, discuss and act on the approval of the executive director's participation on the National Blindness Professional Certification Board. 11:20, discuss and act on the approval of the executive director's participation on the Board of Community Advocates, Inc. 11:25, discuss and act on the approval of employee in-state and out-of-state travel. 11:30, executive session for executive director evaluation. 12 o'clock lunch. It goes on to new business. 1:15, discuss and act on the 2015 state plan. 1:30, discuss and act on executive director job description. 1:50, discuss and act on commissioner support of Outlook Nebraska at the Greater Omaha Business Excellence Award Luncheon. 2 o'clock, public comment. 2:15, final announcements. 2:20, adjourn.
Thank you. Okay. Moving on to our first item of business, approval of the February board meeting minutes. We'll take these as two separate things here. The commissioners were all provided the draft and the ability to make corrections to those minutes before they became available on the website. So we've all had the opportunity to read through them, make any changes that we wanted. Is there any discussion about the meeting minutes?
No.
Okay, so we'll take a vote to approve the February Commission Board meeting minutes.
So I move that we approve them as been corrected, because it was great to see them, and we all had a few little things, but they're always very good shape.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so it's been moved.
Who made the motion?
I did.
Robert.
Yeah, and I'll second it.
And Jim seconded, so we'll have a roll call vote. Robert? Robert.
Say what?
Do you want to vote?
Oh, sorry, that's what you're asking.
Yeah. Right,
I started to read this thing. I vote they be adopted as they are now.
Okay. Jim?
I'll agree.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And I vote yes. So the February minutes are approved as is. Then we'll move on to the March 14th and 15th board retreat minutes. Same thing, we've had the opportunity to make any corrections to those before those became available. Any discussion?
Now I'll move the adoption.
Okay, I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Robert?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
There you
go. Those meeting minutes are approved. Okay, our next item is the commissioner's report. I don't know. It's been kind of a busy quarter with the state plan review, and there's been a lot of documents to review. So that's where I've been spending most of my time. And then I had to kind of step away, and Jim has been handling things for about the last month because of my family concerns I had to needed to take care of. So I appreciate that, and we'll be resuming all of my chairperson duties. Things have settled down, so there's no reason that I can't do that. But I do appreciate that Jim was the contact person for people and was able to step in and take care of that.
Teamwork.
Yeah, it was very appreciated. I can't think. There's been a lot of things going on with state staff, but the ACB convention, but I was not able to attend those, so I will let other commissioners talk about any commission-related functions that they've done in the last quarter since our February meeting.
The only thing commission-related I've done was work on the job description.
Okay.
For Pearl. I mean, there's been other things, blindness-related, but not commission-related. But so that's what I've been up to the last quarter.
Did you go to state staff?
I didn't. No, I was going to go. Then I had some issues come up that prevented me from going. And after I found out I couldn't go, and Nancy gotten on the road, I found out I could have gone. So no, I did not go.
Okay.
So I did attend the state staff meeting that was in Grand Island. It was great to be with some old colleagues and friends and see how the meetings are being conducted and just business that was shared and plans made. And it seems like things are in good order and moving along. And so that was my first commissioner involved activity. Then I also last week, Ian Saturday, attended the ACB convention. I attended several in the past back when I was working for the commission itself, but this is the first time as a commissioner, and it was great to see, again, just how the group is working. It was smoothly run and, good spirited, and things are happening there with that group. And of course, our fellow commissioner here, Jim, is the state affiliate president again. So that was something. And I also assisted Jim in working on the job description, which actually we're going to at some point need to do. Job description. I think some of us got mixed up in kind of exactly if we wanted to do a job listing thing or a listing of job duties. So we're going to be working on at some point job duties. So there'll be a little bit of revision or an additional document coming along down the road. So then I also did a little bit of talking with the present, I'm not sure what her title is, but Sandy Alvarado, who's I think now the chair or the president of the vendors group. So I've been communicating with her, and I'm going to sit in on their, I think it's June 4th, meeting coming up. Because I just need to get more in tune with kind of what that group of consumers are doing. So that's what I've been doing.
Awesome. Becky, Mike?
I went to the state staff meeting in Grand Island, and it's nice to meet the staff and to get reacquainted with some of the staff that I'd already met. And then I also stopped by Grand Island on the way home from the retreat to help with the NABS college night and met some of the students and had fun there, I guess. So that's what I've done.
Mike Hansen, thinking of things that have been going on since the last quarterly board meeting. Part of that was the retreat that we did, just knowing that there wasn't any public there. I mean, minutes have been posted and so on. That was something that all of us were attended. It was very beneficial for all of us. So that occurred, I believe, in early March. We had the state staff meeting again that I was thankfully able to attend. the whole time this year. It was very informative. We had lots of good presenters, lots of good discussion. It's a great opportunity for us as the Board of Commissioners to, I don't want to say get an idea, you know, get reacquainted with what the staff does on a day-to-day basis, because, you know, we're not seeing them out actually working. It's a different environment, but to be able to hear the challenges that they might run into on a day-to-day basis is always important, I think. So if there is something that we could do to help them out, you know, we can, or at least better understand the things that they face. I've had some opportunities at events that were not necessarily commission related but blindness related to talk to some consumers here recently about commission concerns. So that was, I'm glad that people took the opportunity to come up and approach me. I hope they feel that they can approach any of the board members with concerns. And then other than just working on some of the projects that we have going on right now with some of the takeaway items from the commissioner's retreat, as well as helping out a little bit with some of the other documents that we've been reviewing and writing. That's what's been keeping me busy.
I think now is the time to put in the request. As folks know, I have a personal issue with commission board members asking for financial assistance that they have something, a vested interest in. I've said that in the past. I still believe that. However, I'm in a different place at this point in my life where I have no income, and that's due to my own stupidity or honesty, depending on your viewpoint. And I've debated whether to ask, but I'm going to see what happens. I am requesting at this point some financial assistance to go to the ACP National Convention. If I were employed, I wouldn't ask, putting it out there and being very honest about it. And it's not easy for me to ask because I have a vested interest in ACB. So I'm making the request now to see what happens, see what we want to do with it, and it's out there. So I'm officially requesting financial assistance.
Is there any discussion?
I don't know what the history was on, because I guess I thought it was the understanding was, it was, you know, like I couldn't ask to get financial assistance to go to the NFB because I have a, you know, duties there. You know, Jim would represent the affiliate here, like our affiliate president represents, you know, the our affiliate at a national convention. So anyway, so I don't know what the history is as to, because I understood that that wasn't allowed.
We have a policy on attendance at consumer conventions. And I'm bringing that up in our documentation right now. And I guess personally, you know, regardless of your, you know, I appreciate your honesty, Jim, and your explanation. But you know, as long as it falls within the guidelines of what we've set forth and agreed upon,
right?
You know, that's within your right to request, and as long as it's something that we can financially accommodate, then I don't see a reason why we would not allow it.
Robert, a number of years ago, we were putting this together. Uh-huh. I had made the suggestion, and of course it didn't go anywhere, that in the case of Mike and myself, that we shouldn't necessarily ask for financial assistance to attend the consumer conventions that we represent on this board. That didn't go anywhere because, as Mike said, it's, you know, there could be some reasons why that, you know, we may want to go, you know, never been before and what have you. So, yeah, to address your concern, that there is no prohibition, if you will, that, you know, would stop me from requesting, even though I have a vested interest.
Yeah, but what'd you say, policy, Michael, that there was one in
place? So in the commissioner's packet that you have on your flash drive,
yeah,
there is a policy that we've enacted on this, and I have it right here in front of me. And really what the rule is that comes down to this that's probably the most important is that, Jim, have you, and I wouldn't know without going back and looking at the history at this point, Jim, have you requested and received financial support twice in this current board term?
No.
To, okay.
No.
And so the policy is that any active board member may request financial reimbursement for attendance at 2 national and 2 state organization activities in their 4-year term. This would include state conventions of the ACB and NFB and national conventions of those 2 organizations. There's actually 5 bullet points here. Board members attending conventions would have their travel, hotel, meal, and registration expenses paid in accordance to state regulations by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Whether or not the board member could attend the activity would ultimately depend on the budget of the agency. Bullet point 3, approval of the attendance would be accomplished by a member requesting funds at a public meeting, which is what you're doing. Bullet point 4, upon the completion of the trip, a report no more than 1 page in length shall be generated to the commission and the executive director and shall be presented in a public meeting for the Board of Commissioners, thereby making it part of the public record via the minutes. And then 5, per diem would not be paid for these events.
Yeah.
And I believe, Carlos, the current amount is like $700 is the maximum.
For staff members, we're saying $1,050, I believe.
Okay, so it's gone up. Since
yeah, when it went up for up to 7 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very much $145 per day, no more than that.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, request made.
I would make a motion that we accept his request.
Okay.
I second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion?
No.
Okay. So then we'll vote. Robert?
Oh, yes.
Jim?
I will abstain.
Okay. Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And I vote yes.
Okay.
So we're good.
All right.
Any other requests to attend any upcoming events from other commissioners? No?
Okay.
So any other commissioner report business? Anything else? Okay. We'll move on to the executive director representative report, which is Carlos today.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me or I need a mic, you think?
No, we can hear you.
I'm good.
We can hear you.
Okay, okay. Well, as you know, Pearl had a surgery. She's doing very well, recovering, and she should be back to the saddle by the middle of June. We formed a senior leadership, which is conformed by Pearl, Bill Brown, Bob Litton, and myself. And this came up very much after we met with Dr. Stelter following the consultant work the board recommended. And this leadership group is tasked to make sure that before we implement any policy that will affect statewide to the agency, we first met and discussed about the pros and cons. At this point, as you know, Pearl is on leave, so the three of us continue to meet, and that's how we are running business. Whenever there is an issue, it could come to either of us, and then the three of us will discuss and make a determination. Fatosh Floyd got a job offer in Oklahoma, so she left last week. Her last day of work was a week before last Wednesday, and last Wednesday was her last day in payroll. The decision about getting a new center supervisor will be held until Pro is back. Eric Backwater, who is the VR counselor in Lincoln, he finished his training, and it's doing very well. So we are glad to have him there. in 10 days or 2 weeks, we are also going to get back another counselor who is on leave. So the Lincoln office will be fully staffed. On the other hand, in Omaha, we have two vacancies. The Rock Rehab Tech, it's open for at least 2 weeks. So anybody is welcome to apply. We also have the vocational rehabilitation counselor position open in Omaha. In Lincoln, we had a support staff, more like a receptionist working there. She left a couple of months ago, and we are in the process to hire a new person. We reclassified the position to a secretary. This week, also, that position will be advertised. In the past several months, we were talking about the need to get the support staff also in Carmen. As many of you know, we used to have a full-time secretary there. Then we got a part-time person, and now we don't have anybody there. So the decision was made that we do need a part-time support staff there. The person that we need to go through the state personnel system first in order to get that approved, but we are going to be using the same job description for the one in Lincoln that we are going to advertise this coming week, which is Secretary 2.
So those will both be part-time, like 20 hours?
Correct.
Like half-time, okay.
Part-time, yes. In general, we are also being tasked to take a look. When I say we, I mean Bill, Bob, and I, to take a look at the whole structure of the agency and to make sure that we evaluate what we really need. As we know, things have been evolved, and we need to make some changes, not because we have to, but because it's part of evolving. So we are looking at everything around to see where are the needs and what kind of training also our staff members need. Going into the next subject, Wes Majerus and Bill Brown has been working continually with state officials on accessibility issues. It's an ongoing process. Pro did talk to you guys several times, so it's still going on, and especially Wes is spending a lot of time on making sure to find solutions for long term or to prevent problems to come up. One of the issues that we are looking at is originally when Wes was hired, the purpose was not for him to spend too much time on those accessibility issues with the state. The state is supposed to be finding those solutions, but we are being nice partners, and Wes is being very busy, so we are glad that to have him here. You know how busy he is. The next area would be if Pearl, Dottie, and I went to the NCSAB spring conference in Bethesda. Dottie went there mainly to get some refresher training on social security reimbursement procedures. And one of the things that we learned is that we could also ask for reimbursement for the years of those transition clients who are 16 years old, as long as they are on SSI. In the past, we were told only when they are 18. In other words, we wouldn't count the expenditures we invest on them until they were 18 years of age. But for SSI recipients, we could claim since they are 16. I just thought that was interesting. The other highlight that we thought was very good was when the Assistant Secretary of Education came to talk, he had with him the Director of Special Education at the national level, as well as the Commissioner of RSA. And the emphasis is that vocational rehabilitation needs to work together with special education offices across the nation. In the past, we were told we need to work together, but we then had to find a way to negotiate, get MOUs or memorandums of understanding. But at this time, the leadership from the national level, they are going together not just to send that message, but one of the policies they change is when they are going to be having monitoring reviews at the state level, those two teams will come together, RSA and special education. And we had to meet together in each state, the vocational rehabilitation employees and the special education employees. So I thought that was very interesting. The director of special education put emphasis on the fact that in the past, reading was not included as one of the competency levels for the children with disabilities. And I think this is very important in the case of blind people for the area of Braille. But she's going to be talking more about that in the future. Moving along, we also reported in the past that the Lincoln Building will be moving, well, that's our intent. The process continues. We are working on the RFP. The state has assigned an architect to work with us to make sure that our needs are being expressed on the RFP. Pearl gave the three of us, meaning Joe, Bob, and I, the responsibility that if, in case she's still out and we had to make a decision on where to move and when to move, we could do it. But the way how it's going, I think Pearl will be back way before the RFP it's out. But it's moving along. We just want to report that. The Spring State Staff Meeting was in April, and we are also working on coordinating the Fall State Staff Meeting. In the past, we used to have two State Staff Meetings, then we cut those to just one because of time efforts from counselors and also the budget. But now that we are doing good with our budget and we found the need also that our folks need to get some more training. So the state staff meeting in September will be focused more on training, and Bob Deaton is coordinating and he took the leadership on making all the necessary stuff to make it happen. I think it's going to be either in Kearney or Grand Island. We are not sure yet. The client database system that we have now is eForce, which was developed by Iowa. Then we adopted it. We make some changes that will fit our own needs. But a lot of times, Darby and the programmer spend their resources and time to try to make changes. And if something happened to them or they are not around, we are out of luck. So we are going to be purchasing the AWARE system. Bill and Wes work very much on making sure that it is accessible. I think more than 20 states in the nation have this system. Several of them are agencies for the blind, and they guarantee that it's accessible. So if in the future there are some changes at the national level, we don't have to go through DOD, we don't have to go through a private contractor to make those changes, but AWARE will do it. So we are excited about that. It's going to take some time, a lot of money, and some training to our staff members.
So the AWARE system is, will it track client statistics, or is this like financial stuff?
Both.
Both.
Is that correct, okay. Bill and Wes?
Yes.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
So that's the beauty of that too.
Yeah. Having everything in one place will be really nice.
Yeah. Okay, this second quarter...
Carlos?
Yes, sir.
I apologize. Just quick question for you or maybe for Bill or Wes. Will we be able to move all the data from eForce over to AWARE, or will you end up having to continue to run eForce for historical reporting?
The short answer is yes, and I will ask Wes to develop the answer. You ready, Wes?
Yeah, I can definitely. We believe that the data should be able to be migrated.
Okay.
That is part of the things that we're working out now to see what that exactly means, because
when we went from eForce to, or we went from paper files to eForce or access database to eForce, there was a lot of conversion, but we think it's going to be a lot less labor intensive this time around because it's all electronic already in a database anyway. There may be some things that the Aware company might help us with as we move forward.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. This second quarter, we served 672 vocational rehabilitation clients, from which 30 were close as achieving their vocational goal, and 10 without achieving their vocational goal. I just want to make a parenthesis here, because it seems like when we said 672 clients and only 30 were close achieving their vocational goal, it sounds like less than 0.5% workplace. But from those 672, close to 300 are in referral status. Another good portion are being closed before even the IP is open. Many of them are still on a training status, and maybe only 40 are looking for a job. So I just wanted to make that comment. I do have the statistics for the fiscal year 2013. That's why for this particular report I'm saying maybe, because I don't have the complete numbers for that for you guys, but just wanted to give you that perspective, okay? Bob Deaton has been working on training staff members on the role of the counselor and any other issues, and that particular initiative is bringing or enlightening us to find out that we need to provide more training to our staff members. So Bob is continue to develop some kind of training package for both new counselors, but also for ongoing training to our counselors. We partner with the Nebraska Association of Blind Students to put together a college workshop, which was held by the middle of March. We have more than 20 college students, and the report we got is that it was a success. I will be providing training to the North Platte District on VR policies and procedures next week. The Omaha District is part of a networking group, and they are going to be having a networking event by the end, well, this is here, end of April, so I'm sure they already have it. Omaha also brought Dr. Karen Wolf to put together a training on how to place clients with multiple disabilities while on transition age. That happened 2 weeks ago, and some staff members from other districts also participated. We will be we are working on putting together a training session, but among ourselves, which will be called Sharing Our Best Ideas for Placement. Once again, we found a need for our counselors, both our new counselors and those with experience, to get more training, but also to get refreshing training, as well as sharing best ideas on how to place clients. The supervisor had a conference call yesterday, and the date for this training will be May 27th, and looks like it's going to happen in Carmel. So just wanted you to know too. The Lincoln and Omaha District are exploring the possibility to have a group training session for the Lincoln and Omaha clients. Again, they're just exploring it. They don't know yet when that will happen, but we will let you know when that happens. The Lincoln District had a networking event with employers. There were 20 businesses and 25 blind clients, who they had a chance to meet together. And in the past, when they did this type of event, at least one client had either a part-time job, a full-time job, or an internship. So we are pleased to have that. That's all the highlights I got from the report our director sent you, but I would be glad to get into more details about either of those issues or anything she sent to you, if there are any. I didn't mention anything about the MBE because there is a different time for that.
Questions for Carlos at this time?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
We'll move on to our next topic, which is the budget and
biennium.
I can say it. Biennium update. Are you going to talk about that, Carlos, or is that Bill? Bill will.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Can you come up to the microphone, please?
She's the man who doesn't need a mic, but
I agree.
For this time, we're asking him to do it.
Do you want me to move my stuff? Did you get the batteries working?
It's the hotels.
Oh.
It's a different
thing. Okay.
Good morning, folks. Just a fairly brief outline of kind of where we're at with the budget and the budget process for the next biennium. We have received all of our grants for 2014, which you would think that that should be a foregone conclusion, but certainly it. It's usually delayed, and we have received the grants. We received a small decrease in our federal vocational rehabilitation grant this year. It ended up being about $50,000 less than the previous year. We're hoping that the preliminary numbers for next year would indicate that it'll be a higher next year, but that all goes through a formula in October, and so it's fairly unpredictable. Now, that may sound fairly bad. At this point, we're in fairly good shape with our grants. Last year we carried over about $2.6 million worth of our 2013 grant into 2014. So sets us up fairly well. And at this point, we will probably carry over $2.25 million of 2014's grant into 2015. So you'll notice it's probably a little bit less. That's because we do have a structural budget deficit that is fairly significant, but we will be reapplying for reallotment funds in July. Reallotment funds are funds that I choose to characterize as benefiting from the misery of others. There are states across the country that are not able to match their grants. We usually apply for some of that money. The feds do make that money available and ask the states to tell them what monies they might be able to match or that they would like to apply for. And at the end of the year, over the last 5 or 6 years, we've been able to capture a significant amount of that funding. So budget-wise, on a short-term basis, we're looking just fine. Long-term, 5 to 10 years down the road, we don't know. And so we'll keep everybody apprised but certainly for right now, we're in pretty good shape. As far as Social Security reimbursement, or what we call our program income, we have about $20,000 that's left in program income at this time. We have claims for about $150,000 that are outstanding, and we would anticipate that we will receive a majority of that that funding. They never send us exactly the amount, and so it's pretty hard to predict. But I would say that it's pretty safe to say we should be receiving probably around $100,000 of program income during the rest of the year, and that will help us in funding our independent living grants, especially the Part B grant. We use a lot of our program income to supplement the independent living Part B program, and so we're kind of looking forward to that. If those monies don't pan out on a shorter term basis, Part B we may have to deal with, but we'll make those kinds of decisions as we move along. But we have no real reason to believe that at least some of the program income will come in. If it gives you a little bit of an example of kind of how volatile that situation is that last year we received a little over $1 million in program income. This year we have received about $220,000, with the potential for maybe another, $100,000 to $150,000. So it can kind of bounce back and forth. But again, we're on a long-term basis, or I shouldn't say a long-term, on a short-term basis, we're in very good shape. In terms of the biennial budget, that process really will begin probably in earnest in July. The budget itself is due on September 15th. That's by law. We are currently in discussions about funding, about positions, about where the agency is going, the leadership team and the supervisors and staff will be. We kind of had a little call for those kinds of ideas at state staff meeting. We will continue that, and then I'll kind of sit down and start working with the numbers again in earnest, probably real close to the 1st of July, and it will be our objective. We will have budget numbers to you for your meeting in August. Let's see. I guess that probably ends my piece. If you have any questions.
I have two questions for you.
All right.
This is Mike. The first one is the program income, the Social Security reimbursement funds that we're receiving.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's typically that would be for VR clients that we used grant money for to help, for their rehabilitation, for their client, to work with that client, and we're being reimbursed from Social Security for some of those some of that money that we spent towards towards their rehab.
Yes.
Is that, okay. So there are very much so restrictions on how we spend VR funds, so VR grant funds. Do those same restrictions not apply to the program income money that we get back as reimbursement for the money that we spent for the VR?
There are the same restrictions on that funding. However, we We can designate those monies to go to the IL programs,
okay,
at which point then the IL rules apply,
okay,
to that funding. And one of the points that was made at the last monitoring visit is that they want those, when we receive the money, they want us to make those determinations as to what grant they're assigned to.
Okay.
And so, it is not specifically vocational rehabilitation that it's designated to, but certainly it does have to follow within the rules of the grants.
Okay.
25 years ago, that wasn't the case. It was golden money.
Okay.
And you could use that money for just about anything.
Okay.
That's no longer the case.
Okay. The other question I had for you was, you mentioned that in the current budget that we do have a slight deficit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're losing just a little bit of money every year.
Mm-hmm.
To have the budget. Can you give us an indication of where that deficit is? Are we spending a little more than we have on clients? Are we spending just a little more than we have on staffing? We're spending just a little more than we have on facilities. Do we have an idea where that deficit is?
Yes, but not to. That sounds flippant. I apologize. No, in terms of specific areas, no, we really
okay.
don't. We've tried to be flexible with kind of where we've been using a lot of that funding. First of all, I think our latest figures would indicate that if we receive no more program income today, mm-hmm. and no more reallotment money,
right,
that would probably, what we have right now would probably last us around 4 years.
Okay.
So any money that we receive kind of moves that back just a little bit. Our funding of staff, we've made a real concerted effort to try to spend the this money on innovative and one-time types of things, equipment, on training,
right.
on those sorts of things. So that's been kind of our effort. We've tried to avoid as best we can going into staffing, because again, once you put staff on, that's a long-term commitment.
Right. Right.
If I may just add to that, Bill. In general, if we don't get any program income, if we will have to, for instance, cut staff members going to national conventions, state
right.
conventions.
Right.
We wouldn't be thinking about moving to a new building or getting new staff, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my one question, the big picture long-term plan, are there any things we need to consider doing now, slight course adjustments, so that in the long term, you know, we can stay in the black, you know, and still offering quality services? I mean, is there something, any big picture adjustments we need to make budget wise?
You know, that's kind of what we've been working on. That really is one of the reasons that we are looking at building issues. Now, again, our building is certainly not, has its flaws, but for the most part, my emphasis with this building project is that there may be facilities out there that are either less money, we may be able to better design a facility to require less square footage, may need more. We don't know, but that's kind of the attitude that we're going into with the building project. Also, we do have one-time money. And so if there are some things that we would need to do in order to make a facility like that, that we could pay for in cash up front, to a certain extent, there would be real, and then save rent costs down the road, then that, it makes some sense. We might be able to do that. But I will tell you this, we made that comment to the feds here about a year ago, and they thought that we were going to build a facility, and that it's taken us about 9 months to get them convinced that no, we're not looking at building a facility. They are not interested in us building a facility with our grant fund. So we're trying to do a good job with that. Also, we are looking at replacing some vending machines across the state,
right.
About $250,000 worth of vending machines across the state, to deal with something kind of up front with this cash. We have the purchase order out there. We're having a little bit of trouble getting the machines delivered, and that's creating some problems for us. But that's kind of another emphasis, or another way that we're trying to deal with some things to make this agency, put this agency in a better position 5 years down the road, without creating long-term obligations.
Okay. Jim. Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate the answers.
No problem.
Jim has a question?
No.
Okay. Robert, Becky, you got some questions?
No, not this point.
Okay.
Cool.
Do you have something else? No.
Okay.
So I think we're good for the budget.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Thank you. Our next item is Newsline. Jamie, are you prepared to talk about Newsline? I know you decided at the last minute, so I don't want to put you.
If there's any questions, I guess. I did send one correction to my report, and Kathy, I know you were out of the office yesterday morning when I sent that, but just a number that I had messed up on there as far as subscribers go. But unless there's any questions, I didn't really have anything.
Well, there were kind of highlights from that report, that the things that have occurred since the last commissioner board meeting, wasn't there? Like a new paper coming on board.
Oh, yeah. The Norfolk paper mm-hmm. is in there, and
wasn't there still some difficulties with that?
It is up and going. It's good to go now on the phone system, so.
Okay. And there was something else that was like a...
Besides your monthly your statistics that you gave us about readership and number of users and usage, was there any other highlights that you wanted, or upcoming? I can't remember if there's anything other than the new newspaper, if there's anything else.
I had talked about attending the ACB convention.
That's right.
Creating the new application, but other than that was kind of all the stuff that was going on.
And the application is a tool that will be used by the commission to streamline the application process, getting you and the information you need to from the counselors here at the commission to allow you to better serve the users.
That's correct.
And get their accounts set up.
Yep, make it a little easier for counselors, and then give me all the information I need. Yep.
Okay. The full Newsline report will be with the minutes, so if you want to read all the statistics and the current subscribers and all that, it's all in there. Any more questions about Newsline?
I will say, as a result, and it wasn't a report, as a result of Jamie showing up for the first time in 14 years since we had some, we will have a couple of folks that I'll be getting her the information, you know, sign up for Newsline. So
good deal.
There you go. But Jamie, I can assure you we'll have you back, you know, before 14 years.
Sounds good.
Yeah, a couple of years maybe.
Okay. Our next item is the client assistance program called CAP, complaints or issues?
No complaints or issues.
Okay.
So that one's fast.
That was correct. One issue, but not with clients.
Oh.
Has to deal with a memorandum of understanding with the vocational, the general agency.
Right.
The memorandum basically says that the agency for the blind will serve any blind person regardless of their disability. So if a person has multiple disabilities, blindness is not necessarily the main disability, the agency for the blind will still serve that person.
Exclusively, or does Voc Rehab also provide services?
Exclusively. We will consult with the VR agency. That's what the MOU said, okay? Then last year, the federal government, after RSA, issued a technical assistance circular saying that it doesn't have to be that way. We could open each a case on the plan, as long as we don't duplicate services.
That sounds complicated.
It sounds.
I think
sounds
having one agency is a better. Yeah.
Right. So the only issue is that there were a couple of circumstances in which the client didn't inform, so we had two cases open.
Oh.
And in one of them, everything was working great for the client, but in the other case, it was confusing.
Right. Yeah.
So we are trying to work on that, and it looks like if there is a main issue, we might have to open a different case. But in general, the agency, the Commission for the Blind, will still exclusively serve those who are blind, regardless of their disability.
But if a person chose to have a case open with both agencies, there's no way to know that unless they report it to you, unless they tell you.
Exactly.
So, okay.
Excellent. And I guess we just need to communicate more often with Voc Rehab.
Uh-huh.
So that's the only issue that we're working on. When Pearl is back, we will talk more about that, and she needs to meet with the director of the VR agency and finalize the new draft, I guess, for the MOU.
Okay.
Or at least to change the date.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Questions about client assistance program? I have noticed on the surveys lately, and I don't know if it's just complete coincidence or what, but more people are marking that they do know about the CAP program.
Oh, okay, good.
So I don't think anything's really changed, but apparently people are listening now. So
well,
that's awesome.
One of the things that changed is the fact that Vicky Rasmussen comes to the supervisory meeting,
and
it evolved because it used to be like Vicky, when somebody called CAP, oh, sure, this is a complaint. But now we are seeing this as an opportunity to improve our service.
Mm-hmm.
So when the counselors just feel happy to provide information and emphasize several times the information. I think in the past, we passed the information, but didn't necessarily put that much emphasis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's just help.
Questions?
No, it just flashed through my mind is when CAP first started and Vicky took over the job. And boy, I tell you, Dr. Nyman and Mike Adams, the assistant director at that time, they just absolutely didn't even want her on the property. It was just interesting how the commission at that point was, again, developing their philosophy and their ways of doing things, and they just were very protective of how they did and what they did, and they didn't want anyone from outside trying to tell us what to do. It was just a developmental thing, and it was just, you should ask Vicky about that sometime, how welcome she felt. It was interesting.
When I went through center training as a client, is also Vicky went through for 2 weeks at the same time. We started like almost the same day. So, yeah. But I, you know, back then I had no idea who she was really. You know, but I had a lot of, you know, you're busy doing your own stuff. So, awesome. And I think we have a new person that's joined us.
Yes, Sarah Stewart. Sorry, I was running a little late.
No, no problem. Yeah. I just wanted you to have the opportunity to introduce yourself.
Yep, I'm the supervisor of the North Platte District. And so,
there you go.
Well, thank you for coming.
Okay.
Sorry, I was
late. No, no worries. Okay, so our next agenda item is the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program, or BEP.
Okay, yeah, I also sent you a report, and I will touch on some of them, and you tell me if you have questions about any of them, okay? We were contracting with somebody to run the main post office distribution in Omaha. A month ago or so, we interviewed 3 clients who were interested in that, and we selected one person. His name is Russ Paul Peter, and he started May 1st, not too long ago. One of the changes that I want to make, and the report I sent you from the MBE, it mentioned that we had an opportunity and we had a new vendor who just got that small route and one building. Well, yesterday we got a call that she doesn't want to do it anymore. She found it a little too hard and is not making enough money, so she's not going to do it anymore. So I'm going to amend that part before it goes into the minutes, okay?
Sure.
By giving you this example, I want to touch the issue of how difficult it's to recruit competitive or competent blind people to run these businesses, because most of them usually start with little money. And as blind people, we need to hire a driver, we need to pay the driver. Then the agencies are being tougher with the vendors and the agency, then they need to have insurance for their cars, and usually the agency helps for the first year, but then after that they are responsible for that. So then they get disappointed and they rather find a different kind of job. So then we are without a person for that. Usually how the business enterprise program works is you start with something little, and then when you realize you are adding little, and then you have a big chance. So just wanted to share that with you. Don Ward continues to communicate with the Veterans Administration, and the Lincoln Hospital verbally told us that we will get their cafeteria and vending machines, but by experience we cannot claim victory until we have a contract. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a written contract yet. We were awarded the 1526K building. At the last commissioner's meeting, I reported that the state put an additional incentive or requirement telling anybody who wanted to bid that any other kind of incentive were welcome, and we cannot do that. As you know, a couple of years ago, we were able to amend the business enterprise program law that rent wouldn't be considered into the equation when accepting a bid. So we were concerned about that. However, our bid for proposal looked very good, and we were able to get that building. Victor Ireland will be running that facility.
What is the agency or the business that's at on the 1526 K Street? I'm not even sure.
AS, Administrative Services.
It's a traditional.
It's state of Nebraska.
State of Nebraska.
Okay, I was just curious.
More office space for that didn't fit in the state office building, basically.
Okay.
No, I'm asking, I guess, Kathy.
Yeah, well, it's the personnel, a bunch of the agencies that were in the state office building.
Uh-huh.
They moved over to the 15 K Street building, and a lot of their offices in the state office building now are empty. So I'm not sure what they're going to do with them. But personnel is one of them that moved.
Banking moved over there. Materiel division moved over there.
Revenue.
Building division.
Yeah.
So the vending is strictly intended for like the employees that are
pretty,
there. Okay.
Well, or visitors that come into the building.
Right, but those would be pretty minimal, it sounds like. Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be much. So basically we continue with our approach to give that to current vendors rather than to a new vendor. So it's adding the income for them.
Okay.
Last week we submitted, yesterday we submitted a bid for proposal for the joint forces. We were asked over a year ago, almost a year and a half ago, if we could run a small cafeteria there. And we were excited, we said yes, and it took almost a year and a half for them to write the proposal. We went there yesterday, and we were the only ones who submitted the proposal, so it looks like we are going to be getting it.
Okay. And where is that at?
It's called the USA Joint Forces. It's part of the National Guard, the Air Force, and the Army.
Okay.
And it's in Lincoln, the north part of Lincoln, where the old airport used to be.
Okay.
I think that makes sense to you, right?
Yeah.
Old airport, not the current airport?
No, the old one.
Okay.
Does that make sense, right?
Yeah, it's just south of the current airport.
Okay.
In the old terminal building.
Oh, okay.
How many people, maybe you said, are planning to be working there?
Well, they are already working there. They have a new building, and there are 290 employees in that building.
Yeah.
Plus, there are five other small businesses around, and comes out to 900 employees in that area. Okay.
Small businesses that are private businesses?
Buildings.
Okay.
Small
buildings.
Yeah, so it comes up to 900 employees in that area. So there are potential customers of 900.
And that's a small cafeteria, you said?
Small cafeteria.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of eating options at part of Lincoln.
There's nothing there
in that area. There's not user drive-thru.
Very good.
There are two issues going on there. They also have another cafeteria in which they provide training during the weekend. And they come like 500 soldiers to get training there. And at this point, we don't have that, but there is a potential that we could cook in that small cafeteria and deliver the food to them eventually. Okay. They are also talking about building a new small market there. And we plan also to put a bid on that. We don't have a vendor for that one yet.
Sure.
Okay.
So how is recruiting new vendors? Is there supply for the site demand?
For this particular one, I talked to some supervisors and we found two potential ones who look very good.
Okay.
They look very good.
Yeah.
One of them studied culinary arts and the other one has a lot of business common sense. Mm-hmm. So we will interview them in the next couple of weeks.
Good
job. Carl, so do you ever see possibility of recruiting outside of Nebraska for qualified people?
Outside of Nebraska?
Yeah.
We thought about that, but so far, for good opportunities, we find those in Nebraska.
Okay.
For those that are making $300 per month, nobody will come from another state.
Yeah. Sure.
To do it. And I just want to make a parenthesis, but I want to thank Mark for giving us some information about a new opportunity in Omaha. And this is the type of information we need, because even though that's the type of job we do, we don't have all the information we would like to get. So if you are aware of any federal or state opportunity, let us know. Don't assume we know everything. Okay, so that. We thank you again, Mark.
So what opportunity was that?
It was the bus company in Omaha, Metro, on Cumming.
Yeah.
They recently added a call center, so there'll be more people there, too.
Okay. What's interesting, just a little caveat, whatever, is my last year when I worked for the commission, there weren't any openings, and there didn't seem to be any likelihood in Nebraska for openings, so we essentially shipped a guy off to contacted Colorado, and they had openings. So he went out there, and I saw him last year, and he's making, he's netting like over 50,000 now, and he's got another store that's going to be opening up on another airbase where it might boost, might double that. So that he's doing pretty well in Colorado. So anyway, so we had one time ship someone out of state to get into the vending program.
Yeah, I don't remember how long ago it's been since you retired, honestly, but there have been a lot of changes in vending program in the last, oh my gosh, just 5 years probably. It's very, very different from historically, you know, how it's been. There's so many more sites and more people. People are making more money and mm-hmm. Even, you know, their retreats and their meetings. I think there's just a lot more participation. So it's been really awesome.
I would throw into that has a lot to do with a change in leadership. Carlos kind of taking a hold of this and made a big improvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would happen to, and I wouldn't be able to do it without the support from Bill, Bob, Pro, and the board. It's easier to be excited and innovative when we know we have this kind of support. So we thank you for that. One of the main changes we made, which is still in process, is the fact that we want the field counselors and supervisors to be more involved with the Business Enterprise Program, to treat that program as another employer. In other words, when they do have a client who can be a vendor, to provide the support, to provide the training, as we do for other clients. In the past, they would refer a client to the vending program, and that was it. Mm-hmm. Okay, the business enterprise staff members needed to have more ideas how to deal with the client. They didn't have the counseling skills. It was more about business. So it was a big disconnect. And we're still working on that connection there, but it's there. The last part that I want to report is that we are working on the annual training, which will happen also in September. We are supposed to provide this training every year. It's in the rule, but we were not doing it in the past. So if you notice, we are doing it every year because we're supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. And we're glad to.
Training in what?
On business enterprises. So what we do is we get the blind vendors committee, and among them ourselves, we determine what kind of training they need. In the past 3 years, it was about customer services, how to improve business, creative ideas, mm-hmm. new kind of machines, new ways to make more money and pay less to providers.
And there was a thing about taxes and accounting
right.
and that kind of thing. Yeah, they've been really good. I've attended a couple. And there have been some really, really good presenters and information. Okay. And they're well attended. Yeah.
So that's all I have, unless you have questions for me regarding this particular program.
Any more questions?
No.
No, I just want to embarrass Bill Brown, Patty Stevens here. The proposal that we just did that presented yesterday, it came out like it. We knew the deadline was yesterday, but it just escaped our minds. And we had to do inventory, dumps. Father-in-law pass away, and then Kathy and Bill just jump and help us with the RFP. So it's showing that as an agency, we are a team, and when we have to jump, we jump.
Right.
We were tempted, okay, let's don't submit anything. But see, we submitted, and we are the only ones doing it.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's
working
real good.
Working
it's
together.
Dynamic program.
I actually have a report from Dr. Stelper right here in front of me.
Just today?
No, she actually sent to me yesterday on Thursday night. I had contacted her early.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but she only responded. She did a reply, not a reply all.
Okay. So
So that's good news. We have our next item actually has an update. I was kind of concerned. The next agenda item is the progress report on the organizational development project, and Mike has that for us.
Okay, so we've kind of heard some of that already, some of the outcomes of this project already in the executive director's report, and in the sense that in the meetings that they have had with Dr. Stutler already, you know, they've decided that it'd be a good idea to form this leadership team that they have done and are starting to work together. Not that you didn't work together before, but to have. Work together on some more decision making processes that you have there, and pool, you know, have some. I'm sorry. Jointly, you know, discuss some decisions that affect the entire commission as a whole before decisions are made and so on. That's something you guys have been working on, and sounds like there's been some positive things that have come from that. So that was one of the things that she mentioned. And then as far as the progress with the rest of the commission, she talks a little bit about how the meetings with the center have been progressing. And I'll get to the other sites here in a minute, but the meetings with the center have probably progressed the most. It's been easier to schedule time with them at this point. There have been some other staffing issues and travel issues and some other things with some of the other locations, and nothing that's not overcomable. Just details that have to be worked out, and. So
thanks.
With the center, they've made some a lot of progress there in discussions that they're having about things that they would like to work on, and moving, you know, jointly moving, making progress on those issues. She makes a comment in here about Patoche Floyd's moving on to Oklahoma. And you know, wonders how that will affect the dynamic of the center, and you know, no one knows at this point. You know, hopefully, you know, changes there will be always. We always want changes to be positive. So, you know, Patoche Floyd did lots of wonderful things for us at the commission over the 19 years that she worked here. And we wish her the best in Oklahoma City, and that makes a, and we hope that that's a great move for her and her family. But you know, we also need to move on here since she's not here any longer, and hopefully we're able to come out ahead as well. Continuing on here, you know, she talks about some additional. Individual coaching that's still going on with both center staff and other commission employees, continuing to meet with the four top administrators, now three until Pearl's return. Talked about some changes about information going, you know, some requiring information and requests be done through a chain of command in the commission agency now, and how that's had some positive effects. Being a team that walks in unison, that does not make individual decisions that affect the agency as a whole until all aspects of that have been explored. That the key leadership team is working together. That's probably a much better description than what I was trying to stumble through. Bill's organized a committee to review the billing and HR functions, and has held one meeting. she gives some dates here that there'll be another, you know, continue to meet with the leadership team. Lincoln and Norfolk Group has a meeting coming up, both of them. Kearney, North Platte, Scotts Bluff had just had a meeting here on April 29th. See here, they have talked about some staff changes in Omaha, and that's what I was getting at before, where because of some of those changes, there's been a few delays in scheduling some of those events. I'm just skimming through the rest of this. That is really the bulk of her report. Again, the information, you know, that they're discussing in these meetings as a group have really been private discussions on their part, so she doesn't get into the details. They're coming up. It's all these meetings are really to steered by the participants, and they are the ones that are coming up with the things that they as a group need to work on and coming up with the solutions on their own through cooperative discussions and so on. The details involved in how those topics come up and so on, she typically does not disclose, or she doesn't disclose to us, and then that's just to make sure that these events stay productive for the staff so that they don't have any fears about administration or the commission board hearing certain aspects of the discussions. We want them to be as free and open as possible in those meetings. And so that's the purpose of that confidentiality. That is her report in here at this time. So I can also say that I've heard from a few staff members about the meetings that they have participated in. And generally, I've heard some positive comments. I have heard still heard some questions about, you know, why are we doing this? Why does the I think even at the state staff meeting there was a question about, why does the board think that they're going to have insight into how the commission runs when we're not there on a day-to-day basis, where they're going to be able to solve the problem, you know, any problems that may or may not exist. And our answer at the state staff meeting was that exactly what I just described a moment ago is that, you know, we're not the ones that are identifying the problems. We're not the ones that are coming up and forcing solutions to these, you know, what we think is a solution to these problems or anything. Everything is, the process is designed so that it is driven by the needs of the staff. And so that is the way that we hope that this works, that the staff will embrace the process, and hopefully it'll be productive for everyone. In some of the groups I've talked to already, I know it has, and I hope that the rest of the groups, as they get further into the process, that it's beneficial for them as well. So,
questions from the board about organizational development, or Nancy Stelter?
So then you'll pass that on to us, Michael?
I will pass this on. There are, and some of this we can, I think there's actually, I apologize, I think there is, for confidentiality reasons, I think there is one name in here that I need to remove, but otherwise I could pass this to Kathy to, Dr. Stelter said that this was free to pass on to,
yeah, minus,
to share.
Minus the name.
Yeah, minus the name.
Right.
So.
Okay. Done.
Questions? Carlos, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Just to emphasize the confidentiality portion, as the leadership team, she also shares with us the concerns, but no names.
Yeah.
So that's very good too. And she also tell us how we could improve. So it's a coaching process too. So we are glad about that. Staff members also approach us regarding some of the concerns you mentioned, Mike. Mm-hmm. And our message is, as management and staff members, we get so busy and passionate about what we do that sometimes if we don't have the other perspective on how to restructure it or how to see how other problems are coming, and the Nancy Stolter is helping us, the decision will be maybe very much from the inside.
Okay.
Depending on how, and that's helping some of them to understand.
And, I've heard that comment made before about restructuring the agent, the commission, and I guess I just want to say that wasn't a goal of this, and it's not necessarily something that will happen, if the internal discussions of the leadership team comes to a decision that some change needs to be made, then that's something that has been developed within these discussions. And it's not something was a goal from the get-go or anything like that.
Yeah, and I think that we do restructuring on an ongoing basis. Just like the secretarial position here in Kearney. It was full-time, then it was part-time, now it's not. We're now going back to part-time. Well, that's a restructuring. We're reallocating our staffing resources. So I just see this as like an extension. We're just still doing that. Mm-hmm. I had a question for Carlos. I noticed in my reading in preparation for the board meeting, and I can't remember which document it was, but stated that you and I believe Bob are going to the different districts for like a case review.
We did.
People. Mm-hmm. Was that a direct result of the work with Dr. Stelter, or is that something?
No, we do case reviews every year.
Oh, okay.
For
I
decades.
Have not noticed that.
Every year, yeah. We do case reviews every year. However, we came up with a new case review instrument.
All right.
That is helping counselors to focus better in the services they provide.
Okay.
So we developed that by using a federal document that RSA use when they do monitoring with us. In other words, making sure that we are complying with everything they're asking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also got some ideas from other states. And the first draft, I put it together so it will meet both the culture, philosophy, and requirements. And then went to each district to make sure that we get the feedback from the counselors.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, that document is something that a counselor should take upon ownership. So we are using that in order to help counselors better to be focused.
Right. Could you send that along? I'd love to see like what the pieces to that are.
That'll go to all of us, right? Because being an old VR counselor, I'd like to see what...
I'll send to the group.
Yeah.
It'll go to all of us, yes.
Okay. Other questions, comments about organizational development? Okay. So we are on to public comment. So...
Does the public want to comment?
Oh, what is there? Three? Two?
Mark wants to make
a Mark, okay. Anyone else?
I need to step up and call you.
Dan, where do
what you... Can you hear him okay?
It doesn't matter. We did get the mic recording, so I can record it now.
I speak pretty loud.
I do too, so okay. That's...
All right, well, again, as always, thank you, Board, for your service. As I look at the agenda, I see this is the only public comment opportunity.
No,
that's not it.
Before you go into executive session.
Right.
So that being said, I'm going to talk to the board a little bit about as a consumer and the public. I see, and anytime you want to correct me, I'm wrong. I see the role of this board primarily to oversee the duties and the of the executive director.
Right.
And that's an important important role. So I see that you do take that very seriously. As you go into executive session and review, first of all, I'm glad to see that you're going into closed session this year. I think that I've always kind of felt uncomfortable in prior years to kind of witness what went on. And so I'm glad to see that. I'm also glad to see that you're kind of shifting some of the evaluation tools. And to me, it always appeared that the staff evaluations are what you based your evaluations on. And I see that as, while that's very helpful, that can be, sometimes that can give the staff too much power. You know, so the best thing that you can do for an executive director is to empower her to do his or her job well and give her the tools and support to do that job. One of the things that you'll probably be doing is looking at her salary, Dr. Van Zandt. And whether it's Dr. Van Zandt or anybody else, you need to put a high value on what you pay the executive director. I don't know what she makes. There are some things that you can look on, you know, on the websites in Nebraska and find out what different salaries are, but I do know what the average salary is at the commission, and I do know that she's not at a level of $114,000 or more, because that would be have to be posted. But if you want to have an effective executive director and you want to have high expectations, you need to pay them appropriately. You know, I hope that you will consider what comparable executive directors are getting, and then not just pay her based on what you think she's worth, but what that position is worth. You know, and because I'm a believer, you get what you pay for, especially at the executive level. There's a reason why some executives get paid a lot of money, because what they do matters a lot. I know in Dr. Van Zandt's case, she goes above and beyond the normal, you know, person. I think she does try hard. Is the NCBI perfect? No, but I think it's doing, you know, they're trying hard. I've seen some good progress over the last couple of years. You know, the work that Carlos is doing, and with the, you know, the vendors, you know, the more of an emphasis on low vision and some things. So I guess what I'm saying is pay the executive director appropriately. And if you do have high expectations for the executive director, then you need to pay it based on those high expectations. One of the things I guess I've seen is, I think you have been very involved in the executive director. I would rather that you see you be more supportive of that role and get behind her and give the staff and consumers the idea that you support the executive director and the direction. If you have problems, you need to deal with it in executive session and things. But you're sending mixed signals sometimes when you go out and hire outside consultants and empower the staff to have a big say. You know, it's important we involve the staff. But I personally think I could grab Bob and Carlos and some of the leadership. I think it wouldn't take long. I think they know what the issues are. We just need to empower them to do that and then hold them accountable. So, you know, that being said, we've hired an outside consultant. You know, let's make the best of it. But the best message you can send to the executive director is that you support her, you're going to pay her well. And I personally don't think that anybody at the NCBBI is getting paid enough. You know, I know what their salaries are. If you look here recently, we have higher turnover. We got a lot of positions open. You're probably going to see that based on what we pay. That being said, you got to keep your leaders, you know, where you're paying them well and keeping them supported, because, you know, our state only allows it. We pay our staff so much money. So you got to take care of the upper level, like Carlos and Bob, and so that they will be there and they will help, you know, continually, you know, support new people that come in, because you're going to have some high turnover. So as you go in executive session, not only evaluate Dr. Van Zandt, but the importance of that role and what you expect out of it. So thank you.
Thank you.
I agree.
I do have one comment about that I'd like to state about what he was saying.
Okay, sure.
Mark, I just want to remind you that one comment about the way that Dr. Van Zandt's evaluation was done publicly in the past, that, you know, the board of commissioners relies heavily on some advice. You know, we reach out for advice and have some advisors in different areas when we have questions, and definitely HR policy is one of those where we have to reach out and get expertise for state regulations and how things have to be done. And we were advised that it was a requirement that her evaluation be done publicly. And that is why it was done so during the time that it was, you know, that you experienced it that way. We have since been told that it is not a requirement that it be done that way, and therefore we have given Dr. Van Zandt the choice how she would like to have it done, and she can choose that each year. And this year she chose to have it be done in executive session. And we fully respect that.
I commend you for that. You know, I'm not one that wants to harp on the past. I see that as another positive step in the direction that you're taking the commission. So I applaud the commission board for doing that. So,
okay. Other public comments?
Public?
Okay. No. Any other questions or comments from the board?
Actually, I do. I guess to follow up on what Mark suggested, you know, with the mixed signals and all that, and it was asked to me last week. I won't mention where it was, but it was asked to me last week what happened to the survey, because there was some staff apparently that forgot or didn't know or what have you that we weren't doing the survey, and it was asked, where's the survey? I said, we're not doing it this year. And I had a couple of staff remark to me, thank God, I didn't like doing it anyway. So,
well, you know, it was always voluntary.
Well, it was.
So I'm not, I never really understood.
Well, yeah.
If people don't want to do it, they didn't have to do it.
So. That's exactly right. So.
But it's gone, so.
And we'll be hopefully adopting something here. Actually, we did, so. That'll kick in July 1, the new evaluation process.
Okay. Let's take a break. My watch, which is not entirely accurate, says it's 20 till...
42 after 10.
How much?
42 after 10.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So it's pretty close.
Yeah.
So let's shoot for 5 till. Yep. That's 15 minutes.
That's what the agenda allows. All right.
Or should work.
Close enough. Okay.
If anybody hasn't checked out yet of your room, you should do it during this.
I have
got to bring that one back up, but okay. I have it right here.
Recording.
Okay. We will reconvene with discuss and act on the approval. Sorry.
I have a motion right here.
Yeah, the approval of the executive director's
time certification.
Yes, thank you.
The method in which we do it, yeah.
Yes, okay, so go ahead, Mike.
Okay, so annually we have to, make a motion to cover the method in which we use to approve the executive director's PAR.
Personnel activity report.
Thank you. Personnel activity report. And the way that tip that works for us is that she swell out, it'll be here in the motion. So. So I will go ahead and make this motion now. The Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves the continued use of the current method being used for the approval of the executive director's personal activity report. The director will submit her personal activity report via email to the entire board for their review. The report will is automatically approved unless a question or concern is raised by a commission board member.
And that's your motion?
That is the motion.
And I will second the motion.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. Robert?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yep.
And I vote yes.
Ooh.
So we're good to go on personnel activity reports. Our next item is to discuss and act on the executive director's, is it
participation?
NCSAB treasurer election in November.
Oh, it doesn't. Okay, I was looking for like participation or something. Okay. Participation on the NCSAB board as their secretary.
Treasurer.
Oh, yeah, it does say treasurer. I can read really. Discussion?
Just to bring people up to date, last year there was some concern by some within the agency that Pearl was spending a lot of time, or felt she was spending a lot of time, on NCSAB duties and not her real job, for lack of a better word. And so at the direction of the chair, I called the AG's office and was told that as long as it is blindness-specific related, in this case, that she could, the executive director could serve on boards outside the agency so long as blindness related. But the AG's office told me that what we need to do annually is make a motion to approve that process. So that's what we're doing here.
Okay.
That's what we're attempting to do here. So I will go ahead and move that we approve the executive director serving as treasurer of NCSAB.
Second.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. Robert?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
I vote yes. Mm. Okay, that one's passed. Our next item is to discuss and act on the executive director's participation on the
National Blindness Professional Certification Board.
Yeah, that one. That's a mouthful. National Blindness Professional Certification Board.
And it's the same process as the AG described to me last year.
Okay. Are you going to
make
the motion, Jim?
I will so move.
Second.
Moved and second. Discussion? Okay. Robert?
Yeah.
Jim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yeah.
And I vote yes.
Okay,
so discuss and act on the approval of the executive director's participation.
Community Advocates, Inc. The Board of Community Advocates, Inc.
The Board of Community Advocates, Inc. And that's the one that does the click rules, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Same
discussion,
yep.
On that one?
Nope, it's been a very worthy... The good thing they stepped up to do it has benefited blind folks for several decades now.
Okay.
Yeah, and as the AG suggested, we need to do this annually too, so I'll make the motion.
A second.
Okay.
Okay. The motion and a second. Robert?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yep.
And I vote yes. Ooh. So we're good. Okay, our next one is, let's see how fast I can read. Discuss and act on the approval. That's a big, long one. Do you have that?
I have it right in front of me.
Okay, Mike's going to read us the exact wording.
Okay, so again, this similar to the executive director's PAR, we have to annually approve the commission staff's ability to travel, and we have specifically their ability to travel in state and then out of state to a certain extent, and this motion covers that. So. I make the following motion. The Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired Board of Commissioners approves all employee in-state business travel and or out-of-state business travel within 60 miles of the border of Nebraska in any adjoining state, which relates directly to the provision of services to a client, i.e. employer visit, medical appointment, service referral, employment interview, etc. All other out-of-state business travel is approved if granted approval by the executive director for the agency. This motion is in effect until the next meeting of the Board of Commissioners after April 1st, 2015.
I will second that motion.
Any discussion?
No.
Okay, we'll have a vote. Robert?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yep.
And I vote yes. Our next item is the executive session for the executive director's evaluation, but we're running ahead of time, and I just wanted to give another opportunity for any public comment, if anyone had anything. And then lunch would be the next thing after the evaluation, so if people wanted to go to lunch early,
we need,
they could do that. Except for Kathy.
Well, technically, we need Dan to come back in and turn on the recording equipment. The only thing we would do would be to come out of executive session and adjourn for lunch. If Kathy wants to be here, great. Otherwise, she could probably get those two items from the recording if she wanted to go to lunch. That's up to her. I mean, whatever you want to do. But,
right.
But I'm just saying that might be a possibility.
I would comment.
Yeah.
I guess that would only depend upon if you're going to take any other action before you adjourn for lunch, because after you do the evaluation, we will need to vote on, the raise, if any, and you need to vote on
retention.
That's true.
Right.
If you want to go to lunch, though, we could do that after lunch.
Yeah.
Regardless if she stays here, I think that's all in the same vehicle, so that wouldn't be an issue either.
Okay. I'm just trying to make it the most flexible and easiest for everybody. Yeah. So just offering some ideas.
Yeah.
Any other discussion, comments, questions?
Public?
From anybody? Okay. Well then,
I will move we go into executive session for the annual review of the executive director. It has to be a second, doesn't it?
Second.
It has to be a second to
second.
Make the vote.
Do we have to vote?
Yep.
You have to.
All right, we have to vote to go into executive session. So Robert?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Becky?
Yes.
Mike?
Yep.
And I vote yes.
Okay.
We're good. So.
Recording off.
Yep.
Okay.
So just